And welcome to From the Hawk's Nest. I'm your host, Matt Bergman. And today my guest is Liz Burke. She is a 1987 QU alum with a degree in art. She's from Chicago, but Liz is currently serving as a Peace Corps volunteer in Morocco. Liz, thank you for joining us from Morocco today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with really telling listeners what it means to be a Peace Corps volunteer.
So what it means to be a Peace Corps volunteer is that you sign up to spend 27 months in a different country and do a service for that country. You're going to spend 3 months in training, where a lot of it, depending on where you are, but a lot of it will be like language and cultural training. And then after that point in time, you'll be placed in a host community. Most of the time, you're going to live with a host family for some, if not all of the time. And that kind of helps you integrate and get ready to kind of be a Peace Corps volunteer. Because so much of it has to do with integration in your community, becoming part of that community.
And when did you first join? How long have you been involved with this program?
So I actually first joined Peace Corps in 2019, in September of 2019. I came to Morocco. Did 3 months of training and then spent 3 months in my village. And then, of course, the pandemic happened. And so then I had to, then I was evacuated. So then I did what was called, I did like a virtual service project, where I worked with the women in my community virtually over Zoom during the pandemic through Peace Corps Morocco. And then in the summer of 2021, I did what was called Peace Corps Response. And then we were helping FEMA for vaccinations in different centers throughout the country. And then I came back to Peace Corps in September of 2022. So I've been here for about 18 months at this point in time.
And being assigned to Morocco, was that something you chose, or was it some sort of lottery system that you just got the luck of the draw?
You can do it two different ways. You can say, hey, I would like to serve wherever you think that I needed, and you would do that application, which used to be how all of Peace Corps used to be. Like, you just used to say, like, you know, I'm ready to serve in Peace Corps, put me wherever you would like. So you can still do that, or you can apply to a position directly. And that's what I did with Morocco. I kind of looked at like the different countries and kind of looked at, I'm in a youth development program. So I'm teaching English and working on life skills. And that was something that I wanted to do. So I looked at the countries that had youth development programs. And then I looked at kind of like different things. Like, I really like to cook and I really like food. So I didn't want to go somewhere that was kind of a food desert, just because I know myself and I know my limitations. I also, because I'm a bit older, I kind of wanted to do a little bit more of like Peace Corps light, as opposed to say spending, you know, 2 years living kind of in a hut with like no running water, no electricity. So
I understand.
Those were kind of factors that I looked at.
Tell us what a typical day is like for you in Morocco.
A typical day. So So right now is kind of an interesting day because right now we're in the period of Ramadan. So during Ramadan, no one eats from sun up to sundown. So it changes everyone's schedules around. So basically what happens is like everything kind of gets a later start. So I have different days depending on kind of, you know, a different schedule depending on the day. So a couple days a week I am teaching. We have at my site, we have a second chance program. So it's like a vocational school for kids who dropped out of high school. And they get life skills and then they learn a trade, either patisserie or cosmetology. And so I am teaching like 2 days a week. I teach life skills to them. And 1 day a week, I teach English to them. There's about 58 of them. I have a couple of classes every week for English students. I do travel on every Saturday to a different site to do English classes with a whole different group. But I work for a really active association, so there's kind of always something going on, like some type of event or some type of training. So my days are pretty full. But Ramadan's kind of fun because right now, like every evening at, you know, right now it's very close to 7 o'clock. You go to someone's house to break fast. So to go to liftor. And so everyone gathers around the table. You start with, normally your traditional way of breaking fast is by eating a date. You can eat one date, 3 dates, 5 dates, never 2 or 4. Those are bad luck. And then, you know, so everyone kind of gets together at that point in time. So it's kind of, Ramadan is kind of fun. Fasting is kind of hard, but it's a really kind of nice time to sit and reflect and spend time with friends. So it's good.
What would you say is the most challenging part of being a Peace Corps volunteer?
I think what's the most challenging for me is not necessarily the most challenging for somebody who would serve who's younger. I am the oldest, so I'm going to be 59. So I'm the oldest person in my group. Everyone else is about 22 to 25 for the most part, 22 to maybe 30. And so it's harder to kind of serve at this age because no one else is the same age as you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, the 35 other people who are in my group, they're all the same age. So I would think that that's the hardest for me. Language is hard, but I mean, I can get by with the language that I have. I'll never be fluent, just because languages aren't my thing. But I would say that's the hardest part for me. It's really not that hard for me. It's kind of delightful.
And what would you say is the most rewarding?
The most rewarding, I think, is like the ability to increase capacity. So I have been working with my mudir, who's like my boss, and we've started working on grants because they're an association and an NGO. They can actually receive funding from nonprofit organizations, foundations, and corporations throughout the world. And so we've been kind of working on grant writing together and like exposing him and exposing the association to potential new sources of funding and kind of creating a path for them to continue the work of the association by hopefully getting increased funding has been pretty rewarding. And then I think just kind of watching, like, particularly the group of young kids that I have with English, you know, just watching them kind of like learn and grow and kind of, you know, achieve a sense of accomplishment for what they're doing and learning. So,
well, let's talk a little bit about the types of things you did before you got in the Peace Corps and what your work life was like here in the United States.
So I had a pretty interesting path. I never took like a traditional thing. When I first left school, I worked in nonprofit management for like about a decade. Like I ran a small theater company and did corporate and foundation fundraising for theaters and opera companies. And then after that, I actually ended up bartending for 2 years and doing a ton of traveling. And then I worked for like the next kind of decade or so in for like a group of mortgage brokers. And then I was in investment banking for a bit. And then I eventually ended up back kind of, I had always done hospitality from the time that I was like 15. Like I started working at like a hot dog stand when I was in high school. And I always worked in hospitality kind of in addition to my regular job to kind of supplement my income. So my last job before Peace Corps, I was the general manager of like a high-end James Beard Award-winning restaurant, vegetarian restaurant in Chicago. So I did that for probably like the last 7 years before Peace Corps.
Well, let's take a brief break right here, and when we come back, we're going to talk more with Liz about her time at Quincy University and some of her favorite moments and how she's still connected to her alma mater. Stay with us. You're listening to From the Hawk's Nest.
Hey, QU alum. We want to stay connected with you. Tell us what's happening in your life and your career. Let us know when you move and update your email address. Share when you change jobs, receive a promotion, or have other accomplishments and recognitions. And yes, we want to know when you get married and when you have a baby and make additions to your family. Hey, and you can always contact us just to say hello. Feel free to send pictures of yourself or others which may be of interest to the Quincy University community. Stay connected with us through various social media like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
And welcome back to From the Hawk's Nest. I'm your host, Matt Bergman, and today I'm chatting with Liz Burke. She's a 1987 QU alum who's currently serving with the Peace Corps in Morocco. And Liz, let's think back to your time where it all began back here at Quincy University. And how was it you came to be a student on this campus?
So I kind of had an interesting journey to Quincy, which I think is such a different kind of thing than how like colleges, how you would pick a college today. I had not set foot on the Quincy College, it was college at that point in time, the Quincy College campus until I showed up for orientation.
Oh,
I knew no one. I knew nothing. I remember going through the orientation at Quincy. My class was the last class that had to wear beanies for the first 6 weeks or so of our freshman existence. I remember like going through the whole kind of orientation process. And, you know, for the first couple of days, your parents are there. And I remember my parents saying, do you want to go to brunch on campus or did you want to go off campus? And I remember saying to them, let's go off. Everyone is like, everyone's like so like friendly and perky. It was just a lot. So, you know, and of course then, like the next year, I think I was on orientation committee, so I soon got over it. But it was just, that was like my first kind of experience in going through something like that. You know, like kind of a group get to know you thing, because all that kind of that whole kind of thing was just beginning probably in the 80s. You know, it wasn't something that you did when you went to high school.
Sure.
Or anything like that.
Well, what do you think were some of your favorite memories when you look back now on your time here?
Well, I majored in English music and history. I created my own major with a collaboration of a lot of people. Hugh Fitzgerald was originally the theater director. I thought there was theater at Quincy, too, when I came. But the theater department had closed, I think, the year before I got there. Some of my favorite memories were doing the musicals at Quincy. I was in the Madrigal Choir, and we, you know, had like some really kind of fun trips and fun concerts that we did. I would say, you know, the nicest thing or the best thing for me about Quincy was the one thing that I just miss was when you used to live in the dorm, like you could just open your door and you had like friends everywhere. And I think that that's something that you truly miss as you get older in life. You know, you have to take a lot of transportation to get to find your friends once you get older. But in college, they're just right outside your door.
Well, and speaking of friends, I know that you were, part of a house probably your senior year. And I know you still stay in contact with a lot of those people today. So those friends remain with you throughout your lifetime.
I think that's the one thing that's crazy about Quincy is like how many friends like I still have from Quincy. I would say like Betsy Carlson, who was technically a year older than me, is probably like the one that I keep in touch with the most. But then, you know, there was a whole other group because I was an RA. There's a whole other group that was the year younger than me, like Mary Pat Hillen, Colleen Fahey, Robin Eck, like all of those people. I think one of the things that's unique about Quincy, too, and kind of you're gaining friends and maintaining friends and holding on to friends is there's so many kind of like siblings that, you know, went to college at the same time. And so I think that that helps create like a larger group, right? Because it's easier to be friends with seniors and juniors and, you know, like all different classes when you've got a lot of different siblings in those different classes. So I think it for us, you know, like everyone kind of melded pretty well because there was so much crossover.
And, you know, I know that you already mentioned Hugh Fitzgerald, but what other QU professors stick out in your mind as those maybe who left a mark on you?
Hugh Fitzgerald, definitely. He was an extreme character. I remember at some point in time, we were doing a show. We were doing Once Upon a Mattress. And I had the lead in Once Upon a Mattress, and it was directed by Hugh Fitzgerald and Father Dennis Schaefer, who's still one of my best friends to this day, was doing the musical direction. And because the character that I was playing had like a really loud belt voice, he didn't want me to use my full voice until we got closer to the show, which meant that I didn't really feel confident in the role for a long time. But I remember Hugh Fitzgerald coming to me and he put this ring, this beautiful, like kind of theatrical ring in my hand in a very dramatic fashion. And he told me that, you know, this ring had power, that this was like his mother's ring, that he was going to lend it to me to, you know, like endow me with the self-confidence that I needed to get through the show. And, you know, I took it as like a very precious and, you know, wonderful thing, and it really helped. And of course it turned out it was just a story. he had grabbed a ring from the costume department and just put it in my hands.
But it worked, huh?
Yeah. And it was ridiculous. And, you know, Father Ken and Father Dennis, you know, were two of my best friends. Those two used to play, like, tricks on me kind of on a regular basis because I had them both for class. And I remember one time I was working on a musical piece with Father Dennis, and he was telling me that I needed to pronounce the word endure, like endure, so that I was enunciating it as I was singing. And I was like, well, that's ridiculous. I can do it in a song, but I'm never going to say it that way. I'm never going to say endure. I'm going to say endure. So the next day I go to Father Ken's history class, and I swear that I'm hearing the word endure a lot, just a lot through the lecture. And I started to think that I was going a little bit crazy because he just kept using the word endure throughout the lecture. And I was like, there's no way that he's really doing that. And of course, I went up to him after class, and he was like, oh, Miss Burke, did you endure through today's lecture? So.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Those friars, I tell you.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, like, a really special place for me was always the chapel. My friend Dan Schaefer and I used to sing in the choir. We used to have Sunday night 10 p.m. Mass, and Dan and I used to sing in the choir every Sunday with a larger group. And then after that was done, we always used to have what we called chapel sessions. And it was just us kind of reflecting on the week. Sometimes it was stories. Sometimes we would, you know, tell, you know, just kind of like reflect. And it was a form of prayer, I would say, but not officially. You know, it was more just kind of mm-hmm. us, like, you know, sharing our friendships. And the unique thing about that was, it's fallen by the wayside, but we did it for many years. We made a pact that on the first month, on the first Friday, every 5 years in April, the first Friday in April, we needed to meet in Quincy at the chapel at, like, I think we knew what the train was, so I think we said at 10 p.m. And so we did that, like, we would just appear. Like, we weren't allowed to talk about it. We ended up using Mary Pat Hillen to kind of, you know, like, check on us for a while. And Dan's in Mexico now, and I'm in Morocco. So we obviously won't be doing it anytime soon. But we did it for a long time.
That's cool. That's really awesome. Well, yeah. Liz, as we wrap up our time here, any advice that you might want to share with either current QU students or with the alumni community?
Just that, you know, I think that Quincy is such a special place. And I think the, you know, kind of my journey to being in Peace Corps, actually, like, you know, all comes down to kind of Franciscan values and Franciscan service. And just, I mean, like, with the teaching and with the instruction that we had, you know, I remember I had a Catholicism class with Father Ken, and it just made me able to be comfortable being a Catholic, which sometimes can be difficult because, you know, there's different rules that maybe you don't want to follow, and he would allow you to kind of come up with your own path to be basically, you know, if you're a good person and you're a good soul, then you can be, you know, a member of the Catholic Church. I think that it gave me a very well-rounded education, and that was lovely. I remember my old roommate, Larry, and I, we, at some point in time, we realized when we graduated that one, that between the two of us, we had belonged to every organization on campus with the exception of three, like the Black Students Organization, Varsity Sports, and Kiwanis. But besides that, we had all the rest.
That's so awesome.
I mean, Quincy was just like very instrumental in allowing me to be who I am. And so I think anybody who went there and anybody who's there now, they're in a very lucky position.
Well, Liz, thank you so much for taking time out of your day and chatting with us here on the podcast.
Anytime.
And be sure to tune in. Be sure to tune in next time for another episode of From the Hawk's Nest, where we talk to Quincy University alumni, Franciscan friars, students, faculty, and staff, and learn about their QU journey. I'm Matt Bergman, and remember, it's always a great day to be a Hawk.